Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's the early 2000s in L.A. Judy Wood, an immigration lawyer and single mom, discovers a shocking case. A young woman, a former school teacher who defied Taliban oppression in Afghanistan, is incarcerated in terrible conditions in California, awaiting deportation. But sending her back to her home village would be like a death sentence. Why isn't she considered a refugee? Why isn't she offered asylum? Trouble is, women are not a minority group, and her religion, language, and nationality, Muslim and Pashtun, are the same as her oppressors, which means she's not a persecuted minority and doesn't qualify for asylum. What can she do? Saint Judy is a new biopic drama based on real events that tells the story of this important trial. It centers on Judy Wood, an immigration lawyer still practicing in LA who changed the law of asylum. Saint Judy has its Canadian premiere on Thursday, June 20th in Oakville, and its Toronto VOD launch on Friday, June 21st at the Review Cinema in a benefit for Sistering in Toronto. And I'm very pleased to have the real Judy Wood herself by telephone from somewhere in LA to tell us more about her story as Saint Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi, so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks so much for talking to me. So the movie Saint Judy is about immigration law, which is a world most of us don't know much about. What's the difference between criminal law and immigration law?
Well, I actually used to be a public defender, so I know a little bit about criminal law. In criminal law, usually the defendant is placed into proceedings because he or she is suspected of or has committed a crime. And in the United States, someone is presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. And first you have an arraignment, and then you have a preliminary hearing in which the government has to prove up its case, and then you have the trial. In immigration law, things are a little different. Usually the person is not guilty of any crime. There are many types of ways that a person can find themselves in immigration court, and many ways a person can find themselves in immigration court. One of the ways is if they've been convicted of a crime, but there are many other ways, if they've come through the border without a passport or a visa, or if they apply for asylum affirmatively, or any number of other reasons, then they can find themselves in immigration court, and they're not presumed innocent until proven guilty. Quite the opposite.
Yes, in the film, someone says it's up to them or their lawyer to prove their innocence.
Exactly. And it's not innocence. What you're proving is their eligibility for the release. And the burden of proof is on the respondent.
And yet they are incarcerated.
Not all of them, but many of them, as they come through the border, are put into these horrific detention centers where many of them, including the person who was the protagonist in the movie, are actually given psychotropic drugs which they do not need.
Yes, she's the character in the movie was very heavily medicated to the point where she couldn't even communicate.
That was what was so shocking. I used to go to see her. She was detained in a place called the San Pedro Detention Facility in Long Beach, California, and I used to go to visit her, and I would visit her. She was dressed in an orange jumpsuit. She would crouch in the corner of the room, very afraid, silent. And many times I would visit her and just sit with her silently and let her relax with me until she was able to actually tell me her story.
Now, one of the most shocking scenes for me was a very simple scene, but when they show maybe 30, 40 people in a room, all women in their beds, and they're forced to lie on prone on their stomach with their arms spread out. What was that, and what's going on there?
Well, there is all kinds of abuse going on with women at the border. And right now in Mexico, there are literally thousands of women, some of whom have children, some of whom do not, who are forced to wait in what they call refrigerators, sometimes for 3 or 4 days at a time. women are violated in many ways, sexually and other ways, while they're in detention, while they're at the border. This case that we're talking about that is the subject of the movie, it happened a long time ago. But I'd like to jump forward to what's happening at the border now.
Please do. I understand you started on immigration work after the case of El Salvador during their civil war.
Right. I came to Los Angeles specifically for the purpose, and I thought I was only going to stay a year, for helping people from El Salvador who had wound up in horrible prisons in El Salvador where they were detained in such a way that they became crippled. And in fact, one of my first Salvadoran clients was detained in this way, and I was able to win his case. So I was very inspired, and my belief that I should come to L.A. to do this was definitely received an affirmation. But pushing forward to present time, what's going on at the border, because it's really shocking. There are many, many people waiting at the border, and many of them have very, very clear and winnable cases. And yet, just on the radio and NPR this morning, I'm listening to someone say, no, these are false asylum cases. Well, just the other day, a woman walked into my office from El Salvador, young lady, beautiful young girl, 21 years old. She had been raped by a gang member, and because you can't have an abortion in El Salvador, she raised the child, beautiful little girl. And the guy who raped her continues to pursue her and wants to, you know, further mutilate her. And yet she is being put in a position in the United States where she has to beg for asylum, and she's going to appear in court in 2 weeks before a judge who never ever grants asylum to Central American women.
Why not?
She just doesn't. She doesn't believe that they fit into a particular social group. She doesn't believe that they have credible claims. This is a particularly difficult judge, but at least she's getting a hearing. And I told her when she was in my office, look, this judge isn't going to grant. We have to make a very strong case because we are going to have to appeal. But what's even more heartbreaking is the women who are stuck at the border with their children, some of whom have heartbreaking cases. I know that there are a lot of people at the border, and it really is a humanitarian crisis. However, many of these people have such heartbreaking stories. As you know, many of them are fleeing from Honduras. I've had people come to my office from Honduras who have actually watched these gangs murder and rape their children in front of their very eyes. So a lot of these cases are extremely meritorious, and yet these people are not going to be allowed to apply for asylum. President Trump's new directive. They will not be allowed to apply for asylum.
So what specifically are the changes in the past 2 years with the change of government, since the current president was elected?
Well, there's this wait in Mexico policy. So if an intending immigrant comes up from what's called the Northern Triangle, which is El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, and legally applies for asylum at the border, at a port of entry, they will have to wait in Mexico while their case is being adjudicated. They do not get what is called a credible fear interview, which is what traditionally was given to people who enter. And if they've passed their credible fear interview, where an asylum officer makes an assessment that, in fact, the person does have a credible fear of future or past persecution, that they can get into what's called removal proceedings. Now, that's done away with. They have to wait in Mexico. They don't get a credible fear interview. And they have to be bused into the court in San Diego. But this is going to spread throughout the southern border, not just right now. It's just in San Diego. The courts in San Diego are in a state of chaos. There's all these people. They don't know when their hearing is. And what's the cherry on the whipped cream? These people, their visas, for a while they had visas to be in Mexico. Now those visas have expired, and they have no way of getting that visa extended. And so they're in Mexico, actually, illegally. And now with the new agreement between President Trump and Mexico, these people may get deported to their home countries while they're waiting for their asylum case to come up in court in San Diego. So the whole thing is quite chaotic.
Isn't the U.S. government obliged by the International Asylum Treaty to accept people at the border who claim asylum?
Well, obviously we are not going to, and therefore there will be lawsuits filed in various international forums, and I've already begun working on that.
What do you think has to be changed?
Well, the United States has to comply with international human rights treaties. In the seminal document, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, says a person has a right to apply for asylum. It's not a crime to apply for asylum. You have a human right to apply for asylum. And that right doesn't include being kept in a refrigerator or kept on the streets of Tijuana, being afraid, having no place to live, nowhere to work, etc., with your infant children. People who are fleeing from their home country have a right to apply for asylum. That's part of the international law, which has been part of this agreement between all civilized nations since 1945.
Another major change in the last 20 years is the creation of ICE. Can you talk about ICE and how it affects the plight of migrants and asylum seekers?
Well, ICE stands for Immigration Control and Enforcement. And it's part of the agency, the Department of Homeland Security. And their directive is to apprehend incoming migrants, whether they be at the border and sometimes at an airport as well, although usually it's the acronym for the people at the airport is CBP. But the people at who are at the physical border, ICE, they generally are able to interview a person, and it's called a secondary inspection, and determine whether the person actually has some sort of fear of going back or whether it's completely not really an asylum case at all. And they can, traditionally, they can detain that person, put that person into a detention center in the United States. Once in the United States, the person can apply for a bond to be released and paroled into the United States. That is available once someone is in a detention center in the United States. However, there's no parole and no bond if someone is waiting in Mexico. They simply have to wait in Mexico under rather horrific conditions. I'm talking about children being detained in refrigerated warehouses.
It's terrible. I also understand that far from being restricted to just the border, ICE is operating far from the border in major cities throughout the country.
Yes. As you recall, during Trump's campaign on television, he announced that he would initiate deportation armies. And with that statement, he actually made the physical SS salute with his hand.
I've heard.
Now, deportation armies are horrifically similar to the SS regime, which occurred in Nazi Germany. And what it means is that homes will be searched, places of work will be searched, looking for so-called aliens to put them into detention centers, to put them on trains or buses and send them back to their original countries, regardless of their humanitarian condition.
And
I've recently heard that plans are being made to take children, undocumented children, and put them in the internment camps where Japanese immigrants Japanese citizens were held.
That's frightening.
During World War II.
That's frightening. Have you ever had I understand there are cases where ICE agents will stand outside courtrooms to arrest witnesses, people who are not even on trial. Have you ever encountered
that? I've had one experience such as that. What I had an individual from Honduras who was doing his case in court. He had a very strong asylum case. And then we came down from the elevator. He was not detained. He was just doing a regular asylum case. And ICE officers arrested him in the building based on basically a false arrest document that was issued from Honduras, where he was from. And later he was released, but it caused him a lot of pain and suffering.
That's a frightening case. Thank you so much for talking about it. We've run out of time, but thanks so much for telling me about it.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Judy Wood, thank you so much for talking with me. She's an LA-based immigration attorney who changed the legal definition of the law of Asylum. Her story is the basis of a new feature film called Saint Judy. And you can see Judy Wood in person at the Canadian preview of Saint Judy at the Wilson Oakville Film Fest on Thursday, June 20th, and at the VOD launch on Friday, June 21st, at the Revue Cinema in Toronto at a benefit screening for Sistering. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.